CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Tornadoes tonight. A tornado killed a two-year-old boy and injured his mother when a tree fell on their house in suburban Detroit, say officials in Livonia City. A quick developing twister. There's tornado damage tonight in Montgomery County, Maryland, says the head of county search and rescue. A passenger train collided head-on with a freight train in the Czech Republic. At least four people are dead, over 20 others hurt, says the Interior Minister. Senate Republicans blocked a bill to protect women's access to birth control. Texas's Ted Cruz calling it a political stunt to put Republicans on record.
This is not about protecting this right. It is about politics for the Democrats hiding their own radical view.
Hunter Biden's ex-wife and a former girlfriend testified in his federal gun charges trial about finding his crack pipes and other drug paraphernalia. The defense arguing they didn't know what he was up to later when he tried to buy a gun. This is ABC News. Federal prosecutors have charged a retired NASCAR driver and his son with allegedly assaulting police during the January 6th insurrection. 75-year-old Ty Scott and his son, Jarrett, faced two felony charges and several misdemeanors. They were arrested along with another Pennsylvania father and son. It's something one community in California hasn't seen in years.
Lake Tahoe is full for the first time in 5 years. It's due to back-to-back years of robust winter snowfall. A new government report says Tahoe is so full it'll meet drinking water demand for at least the next 3 years, even if the snowpack is below average and snow is still melting, pumping in more water. One downside, Tahoe is so full, beaches have disappeared, so on crowded summer days, there will be less beach access this year. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Attorneys say a Colorado woman seriously hurt when a freight train hit the police vehicle she was handcuffed inside of, has reached an $8.5 million settlement. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The warden at the maximum security state prison in Waupun is facing up to 3.5 years in prison. Randall Happ is charged with felony misconduct after an investigation into four inmate deaths. Eight other people have been charged as well. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt spoke in a press conference Wednesday about making changes to Wisconsin's prison system.
I would ask, why not? One new prison could replace two prisons, or two renovated prisons would be much better than what we have now.
An internal Department of Corrections investigation is ongoing. Parents and teachers of Southside Elementary School in Madison are calling for the removal of their principal and assistant principal. An 18-page letter of complaint was sent to the Madison School District on Tuesday. Parents assert that school administrators don't listen to them. They also claim school leaders ignore bullying and punish black and brown students disproportionately. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers fall in extra innings. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. It was the Phillies in the 10th inning yesterday to take the win.
Line drive game, to baby. Right field. He is the hero! A one-hop off the wall! Here comes Merrifield, and the Phillies will win it! In the bottom of the 10th inning, Nick Castellanos, an RBI double, 2-1 Phillies.
And that score, your final in 10 innings. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers couldn't come up with the big hit when they needed it.
We didn't execute when we had to, and we didn't get the big hit. And I thought our pitching staff did a nice job for the most part. And kind of didn't get things to go our way. So, yeah, results in the loss and the extra inning loss stuff.
It'll be the Brewers and the Phillies one more time this afternoon as Milwaukee tries to avoid the sweep. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise mostly clear and breezy for tonight, with lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, still breezy, high in the upper 60s. Mostly sunny and warmer on Friday, high in the lower 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll have highbrow conversations about Karen Alito's tramp stamps and other topics of daily import.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. It's producer Haley Cherry here today taking over with our guest host, Arvina Martin. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Host Robert Pilot is out doing something fun, I'm sure. So we've got the Ho-Chunk women in the house today taking over. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Hana Chini Karagiwi, everybody. I say hello and greet you. I'm practicing my Ho-Chunk. I'm in language one for like the eighth time. So
okay.
At
least you keep coming back to it, you know, you're not just giving up.
I'm trying. The hardest word for me to say is still Rajra, which is like the name. So like I have to say it really Rajra. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were, you know, our elders spoke slow back in the day, so it's okay if we have to go a little bit slow learning, you know, our original language, but props to you for doing that. And thanks so much for being on Native Roots Radio today with me.
Absolutely. You know, I love being here. So I'm happy to have this Ho-Chunk Hinuk time, and we'll represent for all the Native ladies out there, Ho-Chunk or otherwise.
Right. All women of tribal nations. And I just want to, you know, remind people who might not know, I feel like, well, probably a lot of people don't know what Ho-Chunk means. And that is the people of the big voice or the sacred voice. So kind of cool that we're on microphones today.
Yeah. And actually, it wasn't until I started taking our language lessons that I found out that we are the only tribe that refers to ourselves by the name of our language. So, you know, a lot of tribes, their name for themselves just means something like the people, and ours refers to our sacred language and how that's part of us. And yes, as far as I know, if there's somebody else out there that has more info or anything, please feel free to correct me, but that's what I heard.
I love, that's great. I know John, President Green Deer, has been on and he explains it all very well.
Who I heard it from.
that would make sense. I mean, so Ho-Chunk Nation is a tribal sovereign nation in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm here in the Twin Cities. As our listeners know, Native Roots is based out of the Twin Cities here in Minnesota. And Arvina, you're out in Madison, Wisconsin, right?
Yes, I live in Madison, Wisconsin, aka Dejope. I know we talked about stuff, but I forgot to mention, they just, you know, the site where a couple of summers ago they found those ancient dugout canoes. So the Historical Society has been working with them, with the Ho-Chunk Nation, and our Tribal Historic Preservation Department. And they did use ground penetrating radar and found that spot in Lake Mendota is like the site of a buried village, and where they found probably 11 or 10 or some, a whole bunch more canoes, including one that is potentially 4,500 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that.
Right.
Which, yeah, I mean, and it just goes, it makes me think of like, where are all the other stuff that our ancestors left behind that we still have yet to find?
Yeah, I mean, especially, I guess, from what I am to understand, Lake Mendota in Madison is known to be the most studied lake in the world for some, and
wow.
It's still providing all of these discoveries. And like, this is, I mean, obviously it's thousands of years old, but the discovery just from somebody finding one object that they were like, this looks like a canoe. And it's turned into a submerged village where, you know, there's just going to be so much information and so many things. And the Historical Society is working with the Ho-Chunk Nation on it. So, you know, it's good to know that the nation is being included in studying and what we will learn, it'll be... the nation is a part of it. And I think that that's a step in the right direction when it comes to learning about, you know, sacred sites and ancient sites. And I think that's pretty fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking too, like our oceans. I mean, there's only, I don't know the exact percentage, but you know, single digit has been discovered and researched. And I think that's a good segue into what today is, which is World Environment Day, June 5th.
I did that on purpose. Totally.
Nice. Radio pros here. Yeah. But yeah, you know, well, you and I know that Indigenous peoples make up only 6% of the global population, but yet we protect 80% of Earth's biodiversity. And, you know, our knowledge has sustained Mother Earth for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this post coming here from Indigenous Rising, World Environment Day, we recognize that all Indigenous rights, leadership, and traditional knowledge are crucial in addressing the climate crisis and protecting Mother Earth's precious ecosystems, which, I mean, there you have it. I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that academia needs to do some serious catching up with learning about, in an appropriate way, learning about traditional horticulture, traditional, you know, wildlife management. You know, I remember hearing, like, before the pandemic, there was all those fires in Australia. And what people found was that the land that was kept according to Aboriginal traditions fared way better than people that did kind of standard, you know, landscaping, yard care for whatever that they do down there. You know, to the extent that buildings were saved, you know, and this traditional knowledge is valid. And, you know, I think we need to pay attention to it more so that, and listen to the people that know, and we can, you know, hopefully use a lot more of those management techniques in ways that are going to be appropriate for the landscapes where we are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important that we continue carrying our knowledge and what we know and what we've learned so far from our ancestors and generations going back, because, you know, like, I mean, there's certain things that us as Native Americans believe in. And I know we were just talking about this on was it Monday's show with Dr. Stately, but he had mentioned what would Turtle Island look like had it not been touched and disrupted the way it was. And, you know, that's hard to say, but it's also like, are we going to have to go back to those ways to end up saving the planet? And if that's what we have to do, that's what everyone's going to have to do, you know, not just only Native Americans who make up, what, 6% of the population.
Absolutely. I think you're dead on right there. And you know, I can't say it better.
Well, let's circle back to Dr. Stately, because he had a little announcement he wanted us to announce. Yes, on today's show. Yeah. So Dr. Stately, he is the president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis. And he wants us to shout out, they're doing something at the Minneapolis American Indian Center today. So Wednesday, June 5th, right after the show, right after Native Roots Radio is done from 6 to 9 p.m., they will be hosting a Pathways to Racial Equity in Medicaid for American Indian Communities.
That right. is awesome.
Yeah, which is really important. So this is going to be a conversation to inform about the Minnesota Department of Human Services on priorities to improve the health and opportunity of American Indians in our communities. So again, today from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, 1530 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis. You can register to reserve your spot at marnitasstable.org. And it is a free event. Dinner is provided and there will be prizes. So all ages are welcome. So show up to the Minneapolis American Indian Center if you're in the area and go tell them what's up.
And learn about Medicare or Medicaid.
Yeah, Medicaid.
Medicaid, there you go.
All right, you're listening.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We got to take a quick break, but don't worry. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Nation.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
For the past decade, Four Sisters Farmers Market has been working to bring healthy and affordable food to Indigenous communities and surrounding neighborhoods. Join the celebration for opening day, June 6th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They'll have over a dozen vendors, like the new Powwow Grounds food truck, Fry Bread Factory, and music by Afro-Indigenous artist James Harbin. Four Sisters Farmers Market in Minneapolis is opening on Thursday, June 6th, from 11 to 3. Discover more on their social media accounts.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com. This is producer Haley Cherry, and I'm here with guest host of the day, filling in for Robert Pilot, Arvina Martin, who is the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Arvina, for being here with us today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So what is Emerge Wisconsin? Because I know that there's different Emerge organizations across the country. What does Emerge Wisconsin do and what is it like to work for them?
Yeah, so Emerge Wisconsin is a part of a larger network of organizations called Emerge. And I believe that we have affiliates in 27 states. And basically what we do is train Democratic women and non-binary folks that feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. So this is like candidate training, everything you're going to need to know in about 6 months. And, you know, you learn all the things from knocking on doors to how to get your WIN number to how to raise money to, you know, how to make sure that you've got a good team behind you, and really making sure that you feel that everybody feels really comfortable with the ask that they're going to have to make and the work that they're going to have to do in order to win.
Right. Well, that is so important. I really don't even know of like any other organizations that I guess would train in upcoming politicians or, you know, school board representatives or whatnot, any type of running for election. We just had the 100 years of a really important act. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The Indian Citizenship Act of 1924, which granted is, I guess, the right word. citizenship to Native people here living in the United States, which sounds pretty great. Oh, yeah, citizenship. But, you know, not everybody wanted to be citizens of the U.S. And, you know, there were still laws on the books in various states as of 1957 that were written to prevent Native people from voting. You know, so this is not, it's not a surprise that this is one of those things that's like, oh, yeah, here we have this great gift for the Native people. And please note that my voice is dripping with sarcasm.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't necessarily turn out that way. You know, and how long it took for Natives to get similar rights. I mean, whether it's actual access to the ballot, to being able to practice our traditional religions without fear of being prosecuted. I mean, that's a First Amendment right, and that didn't pass until, I believe, 1970s mm-hmm. Or 80s. I'm blanking right now because there was a lot of major legislation that passed around those two decades. Sure. But you know, it's wild to think about. You think that having citizenship is the end all be all, but you know, as we see getting rights kind of like trickled down until we get some semblance of the same rights, it's not super great.
Right. Well, and women as a whole got the right to vote right before Native Americans got the right to vote, right?
Yeah. Okay. I believe so.
Yeah, well, and even back then, like when we would get, you know, the checks and stuff, we couldn't even take our own. They couldn't take their own checks and deposit that, right? Because we people were seeing, you know, Native Americans as incompetent to handle money and stuff like that.
Also, I'm pretty sure that it was illegal, or like it wasn't legal for a woman to have her own bank account that was not joint with her husband until the 70s.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, there seems to be a lot of patriarchy and colonialism surrounding banking.
Yeah, which, you know, we're just not used to, you know, coming from our matriarch societies in our Native communities, which, I mean, it reminds me of a statistic I was looking at here for this is coming from Indian Country Today. And it talks about the Native vote for 2024 by the numbers. And there are going to be 140 Indigenous candidates running for election in 2024 in a total of 23 states. And get this. So 58% identify as women and only 40% identify as men. So we do have more Indigenous women leaders that are currently stepping up to, you know, lead. And I think that says a lot about who we are.
Absolutely. And I think about, you know, even if you go back within the history of our tribe, the Ho-Chunk Nation, you know, if you look at the picture of the first business council, the first tribal chair was a woman, Helen Minor Miller. And and then in the 90s, when we changed our constitution and it formally changed from the Wisconsin Winnebago or the Winnebago of Wisconsin, and we changed to legally to the Ho-Chunk Nation and changed our whole governmental structure, our first president was Joanne Jones, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that our communities do, you know, respect the leadership of everybody. You know, to a certain extent, that's not to say that there aren't issues with patriarchy or sexism, but you know, it isn't uncommon in our communities to see tribal legislators or council members or you know, executives that are women, and that's kind of normal.
I think too, it brings up like some of our really, well, probably well-known leaders across Turtle Island that I think of, like Lieutenant Governor, Minnesota's Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and then Ho-Chunk, Sharice Davids, who is, she represents Kansas, right, in Congresswoman. And yeah, that's, I mean, two really big powerhouse leaders right there. And I want to get this out here too. This is from Illuminative, and there will be a streaming panel featuring those two, Rep. Sharice Davids and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, on Tuesday, June 11th at 9:45 a.m. And this conversation will be just talking about Native visibility and power building, and really just reflecting on how far that, how far they've come since 2018.
Yeah, I mean, Illuminative does such great work with advocacy and bringing out issues that are important to Indian country, especially to younger folks in Indian country. You know, it, and they're doing a really great job of engaging folks, Native and non-Native. You know, I get excited when some of my non-Native friends will see something posted, you know, by a group like Illuminative and send it to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know,
yeah, they're
and following and
right. Yeah, they're great thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that should be a really great training, and anybody who is interested in any kind of organizing should kind of go and participate in that particular Zoom, or you know, the presentation that they're doing, get an idea of what it's like to organize for change in your communities, and to know that we as Native people might do it a different way than other communities do. And that's also part, like we were talking about before, with like traditional knowledge, is we need to be able to do these things in ways that are authentic to our communities and not put in a, you know, just like a just one of those like boilerplate, you know, teams or boilerplate plans. Sorry, brain stopped working there for a second thinking about organizing. It's just so much to talk about.
Well, and a lot goes into it too. So, I mean, my mind would be totally, I mean, and we were just, that reminds me too, we were talking with Representative Heather Keeler. She represents one of our rural districts, but it's not like rural. It's kind of, you know, a bigger town of Moorhead, which is a little bit north of the Twin Cities here. And you know, we had in our House and Senate here at the end of this session here in Minnesota. I mean, it was, I don't know if you saw any of the videos, Arvina, but it was pretty rowdy and, you know, a little bit scary on how some people reacted in the other parties. I'll just say that. But I mean, the mental health and like taking care of yourself is got to be so important when you're in a position like that.
Oh, absolutely. And that is something that people are realizing more these days. When I first started working in politics, it was considered a badge of honor to have been hospitalized during like the last week or two of a campaign because you just pushed yourself so hard, your body just stopped working. And that, you know, we thankfully have been moving away from that kind of thing and understanding, no, like this does not have to be everything you do all of your waking hours. You need to take care of yourself. You need to have your time to, you know, rest. And, you know, like the union folks said back in the day, 8 hours to work, 8 hours for like rest, and 8 hours to do with what you choose, you know, and it's wild that we have to remember that we need to take that time for ourselves, but we absolutely do. Otherwise your career in organizing and or politics will be short-lived, because
this is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Tornadoes tonight. A tornado killed a two-year-old boy and injured his mother when a tree fell on their house in suburban Detroit, say officials in Livonia City. A quick developing twister. There's tornado damage tonight in Montgomery County, Maryland, says the head of county search and rescue. A passenger train collided head-on with a freight train in the Czech Republic. At least four people are dead, over 20 others hurt, says the interior minister. Senate Republicans blocked a bill to protect women's access to birth control. Texas's Ted Cruz calling it a political stunt to put Republicans on record.
This is not about protecting this right. It is about politics for the Democrats hiding their own radical view.
Hunter Biden's ex-wife and a former girlfriend testified in his federal gun charges trial about finding his crack pipes and other drug paraphernalia. The defense arguing they didn't know what he was up to later when he tried to buy a gun. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Maxwell Anderson, the man charged with murdering and dismembering Sade Robinson, appeared in court on Wednesday. Robinson's family has filed a wrongful death civil suit. Anderson will remain in custody and is set to appear in court again in July. The Better Business Bureau has released a new online toolkit to help people recover from being scammed. Internet scams harm people financially and emotionally. The BBB cited research showing people feel angry, anxious, isolated, or ashamed after being scammed.
A lot of them don't even want to admit it to their close friends and family, and they feel so alone and like they're the only ones that have experienced it and don't realize that there's thousands upon thousands of people that have experienced the very same scam, let alone all of the different scams that are out there.
The online toolkit encourages people to report scams and share stories from fellow scam survivors. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. In already a famous actor but need even more attention news, Alec Baldwin has announced that he and his wife, Hilaria, will be front and center on a new reality show with their seven kids. The controversial 67-year-old actor and his 40-year-old wife are opening their home to camera crews from TLC for some reality. The show will be called The Baldwins. Most of these reality shows are pretty scripted, but if Baldwin punches one of the cameramen, we'll know it's real. Compared to other streaming services, HBO is still a decent deal with pretty good programming. Because of that, they will raise their prices for ad-free entertainment like other platforms. Warner Brothers Discovery says they will bump the price by $1 a month to $16.99 for programming without commercials. There are a ton of other plans you can choose from on HBO, and one is more confusing than the next. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise mostly clear and breezy for tonight with lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, still breezy, high in the upper 60s. Mostly sunny and warmer on Friday, high in the lower 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, it's day 4 of Biden's Top 100. We'll be joined by Isabella Devan. We'll be talking about how monopolies steal money from you and what Joe Biden is doing about it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots
Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. It's producer Haley Cherry, and I'm here with guest host Arvina Martin, stepping in for Robert Pilot. And Arvina is the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. Thanks again, Arvina, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So, I mean, we were just talking voter stuff in the last segment. And I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on? I mean, I just want to remind our listeners out there that you were the first ever Native American elected to the City Council of Madison.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the big thing to, there's a couple things that I want to like kind of highlight. One is that, you know, there's a lot of Native people that don't want to get involved in elections or politics outside their tribe, because they say, you know, this is my government. And that is absolutely valid. I would just, you know, ask folks to think about, you know, the fact that you have an opportunity to elect people to work with your tribal governments, mm-hmm. you know, and having that opportunity to pick who your tribal governments are going to be working with is a really big deal. And you can help elect people that will work with tribes and that will respect, you know, tribal governments as peer governments to theirs, and will understand the issues that are important to us in our communities. The other thing I want to say is that this is going to be a really close election. You know, I think I was checking during the break, and I believe that Wisconsin was decided by about 15,000 votes. Like, that is not, my source here says in 2020 that the presidential election was decided on a margin less than 12,000 votes. And they also estimate there to be about 91,000 Native voters in Wisconsin. We can absolutely have it make a difference and show up on election day and you know, again, choose people that are going to work with our communities and work with our governments to make things better for all of us and to listen to us. And when we go out and vote, that is the ultimate, you know, feedback that we can give them, give to our elected officials, you know, the confidence to have them work for us, whether they're getting elected or reelected, or, you know, the ability to say, hey, nope, I don't think you're the guy. Right. So those are the two big points about voting I like to mention. So,
yeah. Well, when did the orange one get his all of his counts handed to him? That was this week, right?
Last week.
Last week.
Has no meaning. We know this.
Right.
It does seem like it was like yesterday, and you know, you can't be a felon and like our tribal elections, you can't be tribal president and be a felon, right?
Right. That's what I thought. And I had to like do some serious listening and some research on, I guess you can be a felon and run for federal government, which is, I mean, blows my mind, but.
I feel like that is like one of the urban legends that we were all taught. Like growing up, oh, if you're a felon, you can't be president. Oh, yeah. George Washington chopped down a cherry tree. You know, like these old stories that everybody now is like, wait a second.
Yeah. It's like you grow up and they just change all the rules on you. You're like,
right.
What?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping it's not a close election, but we'll wait and see. And we're going to keep doing the work.
Yep. And that's why we got to get out and make sure everybody does get out to vote. Because, you know, to be absolutely clear, the Democrats want more people to vote, you know, and Democrats are confident that when everybody goes to vote, Democrats win elections. You know, mm-hmm. Republicans trying to get people to not vote, whether it is, you know, having people, you know, or shady organizations that are very loosely affiliated to, you know, sending things out saying, oh no, vote tomorrow or vote next week instead, or which you hear of from time to time, but, you know, or trying to slam mail-in voting or trying to actively take away, you know, places where people can get IDs so that they can go vote, making the ballot inaccessible, you know?
Yeah. Especially the whole inaccessible thing and like providing voting locations to indigenous peoples who live on the reservation, which, you know, most reservations are secluded or, you know, it takes, you know, it's a long drive to get into a town or a city where they're going to have voter polls.
I mean, and that is a problem that happens with rural folks all over the country, too, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not like if you live up north in Wisconsin, it's real easy to go get a new driver's license from the DMV because how far away is it, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's wild.
I like NACTI's saying, you've heard that, right? Make voting a tradition.
Oh, I like that too.
Bring your aunties, bring your gagas and your chokas, your grandmas and your grandpas, and get the whole family out there.
I have a picture of my daughter who was at the time, 2-3 months old and going out to vote for Barack Obama and taking a picture with her. And being like, we voted today, you know, she was just a little nugget, but
I remember when Barack Obama was elected. Like, I have the vivid memory of my mom waking me up, you know, after it was like, must have been late at night or something on a school night, cause I was sleeping. And I just remember getting woken up and like celebrating, like it was, you know, a really big thing.
Yes. Yes. And the other thing I want to mention about voting nostalgia is that I remember going when my parents would go to vote. And I have to say that I'm a little jealous that I never got to vote in those machines where you had to like pull down a lever and you got to go into a booth that had like a curtain. All very like mysterious. And I thought it was illegal to tell people who you voted for.
Yeah, me too. Now that you say that, I have all these memories coming back. That's funny you bring that up, because the last election or what I just voted for, it was the same thing. I walked in there and, you know, everyone is like, there's no curtains. It's just not, people are very open about it now compared to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then, but we get stickers now too, which is pretty cool. And I save all my stickers. And, you know, we had the Ho-Chunk Nation ones that said, I believe it said I voted in Ho-Chunk. So like Hija Haicha, I believe is how you pronounce it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was pretty stoked about that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on? We've got Pride Month. What's going on? Are you doing anything for that? Does Wisconsin do a big Pride Fest?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. So Milwaukee does their Pride Fest. That's going to be starting up pretty soon. It's always a good time with a lot of speakers and the parade, performers, and just a lot of fun times. I've never had a bad time at Pride in Milwaukee. It's just positivity and happiness. And I know that there's going to be a lot more Pride events all over Wisconsin. Madison tends to do our Pride later in the summer and call it, I don't know if we still call it Fruit Fest, but that's what it used to be called. So Madison's will likely be later this summer. And, you know, it's kind of a nice start to festival season where you get to go out and listen to new musicians, local musicians, and see the like handicrafts and things that people make that your neighbors make. And it's kind of like going shopping at a powwow.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it reminds me of too.
Yeah.
I mean, Minneapolis has Pride Fest at Loring Park this month, Saturday and Sunday, June 29th and 30th. And I know Native Roots Radio will be going live out there Saturday for 1 hour. And hopefully we're going to be having Dr. Stately come on and Robert Lilligren of NACTI. And then New Native Theater. I want to shout out New Native Theater. We'll also be out there marching with us. We're all going to march together in really cute outfits, I'm sure. And then But yeah, New Native Theater is, I believe this year is their third annual or maybe fourth. I can't remember. Their two-spirit powwow that they host here.
I was going to ask about that. I've always wanted to go and I've never been able to. When did you say? Did you say when it was or?
Do you mean Pride Fest here or the Two-Spirit Powwow?
Two-Spirit Powwow. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. That'll be in July. So July 13th, if you're going to be around to travel.
Yeah. That would be super fun. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's awesome seeing, you know, more LGBTQ Two-Spirit representation in our events. And you know, our media and arts and everything. And you know, obviously I don't know about the traditions of all of our communities, but there's so many of our communities that have that respect for folks who are LGBTQ or two-spirited. And it makes me happy to see that there's so many people going back to those traditions. And knowing that hatred is not part of who we are, you know?
Right. Well, and like when we talk about it being, I know like people say, oh, it's so unnatural and this and that. But then when you look back on Native cultures and Native history and even just, you know, plants and things alive in nature with a spirit, I mean, this is showing up. It's not an anomaly, you know, it's very natural in a lot of species actually. And I know we have a minute left here, but maybe when we come back, we can explain a little bit more for our listeners, because I always have to kind of redefine this term, but what two-spirit is.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. All right. Well, we're here with Arvina Martin, the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and producer Haley Cherry, who's co-hosting today. And we're both filling in for Robert Pilot. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us.
We are Alusa Nation.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Dive into a world where tradition meets innovation, satire meets symbolism, and Native American art takes center stage. All My Relations Arts and the Native American Community Development Institute proudly unveil Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde. Alter Native is an electrifying exhibition that uses satire to push boundaries and demand a closer look at the vibrant complexities of Native identity in today's world. So embrace the unexpected and challenge norms with Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde, showing now at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
For the past decade, Four Sisters Farmers Market has been working to bring healthy and affordable food to Indigenous communities and surrounding neighborhoods. Join the celebration for opening day, June 6th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They'll have over a dozen vendors, like the new Powwow Grounds food truck, Fry Bread Factory, and music by Afro-Indigenous artist James Harbin. Four Sisters Farmers Market in Minneapolis is opening on Thursday, June 6th from 11 to 3. Discover more on their social media accounts.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
I never did it. I start making the noise and then I get self-conscious and I start laughing.
Oh no, Arvina, your wolf howl is great. Hey,
oh, it's dear.
Well, dear. I'm Haley. We're here with Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're just talking about, I don't know, kind of everything today. It's just the two of us Ho-Chunk women holding down the fort, and it's been really fun.
Absolutely. I'm super glad to be here, and I like it when we get our girl time.
I know. That's what I said yesterday on the show. I was like, Robert's like, you guys gonna miss me? I'm like, well, of course, Dega. We're always gonna need our host, you know. But the girl time is, you know, can't go without it.
It's kind of nice if I do so myself.
Yes. Okay. Well, we were talking about Pride because it's Pride Month. So wanna wish everyone out there Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. And we're going to talk Two-Spirit because that's an Indigenous term that that we use, or some of us identifying as that use. And I don't know. What do you know about it?
As far as I know, the term Two-Spirit kind of came about like within the last 25-ish years, maybe. And as a way that to describe, you know, somebody who doesn't necessarily identify in the gender binary or as straight, and see sexuality and gender perhaps more on a spectrum, and having or just have it that it makes more sense in a Native worldview, but granted, just because of my rambling, you know, I don't know if this is all very apocryphal or if this is like based in fact, but that's kind of what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great information. And I ask because I just think so many people, like, I get questions on it a lot. What is Two-Spirit? What does that mean? Is it only an Indigenous term? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it is only an Indigenous term, and, you know, not to be appropriated with anyone else. But this is coming from Jerrica Fountain Designs on Instagram. And I had to say this because, I mean, really, this is a good definition. And however you want to define it, I feel like it varies, as I say. So Two-Spirit varies in what it refers to. The phrase coming from Anishinaabewoan term Nees Manidubong. Sorry, I'm not Ojibwe, so I probably did not pronounce that right. But that directly translates to two spirits. And the initial intent in coining the term was to differentiate Indigenous concepts of gender and sexuality. So pretty much, you know what you said. And they're saying it's used to describe Native people who fulfill a traditional third gender, Indigenous people who identify as having both a masculine and a feminine spirit, describe Indigenous gender identities, and use an umbrella term for queer Indigenous people. Two-Spirit is commonly used as an umbrella term for various identities, but it is ultimately a pan-Native term, meaning it exclusively refers to Indigenous people. So I think, you know, that's a great definition and hopefully provides, you know, whoever needs it with a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a musician who is a straight white guy. No, he's not straight. I apologize. No, a musician who was white, who described himself, I think maybe even in a Rolling Stone article, as Two-Spirit. And boy, did he have to deal with. I can't remember what his name is. He's somebody that is like, you know, very inoffensive and like nobody expects would ever have a scandal. But appropriated this identity that was not his to take. And, you know, I think he very publicly learned a lesson about appropriation in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important to talk about it and kind of educate people in a friendly way about what that is. I also want to mention, too, on our last segment with, you know, a few minutes left here, tomorrow in Minneapolis is NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. Their Four Sisters Farmers Market opens back up, which is, you know, it's just a huge event that goes on all throughout the summer in June and goes throughout the October months here. It takes place on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. The exact address is 1414 East Franklin Avenue. But, you know, the Four Sisters Farmers Market is just amazing. I want to give a shout out to Destiny Jones, who is a Ho-Chunk, and she comes from the Funmaker family. She is running that market, and she's doing an amazing job at it. And opening day is tomorrow, June 6th, from 11 to 3 p.m., myself and Robert will be there as we usually are every Thursday. But it's a fun place to be seen. And I mean, really, you run into so many people that work in the Native community. And it's just a really great time. Hopefully you, when you're in town, hopefully, Arvina, you
what
can.
Does the farmer's market happen again?
Every Thursday at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Okay, I'm going to have to like put that into my consideration. I wish we had something similar in Madison. It sounds like, you know, a great place to do the shopping that you need to do. So like getting some errands done, but then you also get to, you know, build community and reinforce those bonds with the people that you know and care about. And, you know, how lovely.
It is. I actually have been like waiting all year for this to kick back up. So I'm actually really excited. And it's just a great place to, you know, hang out with your friends and be outside. It takes place outside. So usually it's rain or shine, but I mean, there's Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, which is right there too, which is kind of like the little cafe that everyone comes to when they come to the Minneapolis area from out of state. And of course, NACD's offices are there. So the whole NACD crew is there and it's fun. There's healthy food vendors. We're going to be vending there with Native Roots Arts once a month. So we'll come out and get some cool t-shirts and hats.
Oh, I saw that bring your ass hat.
Oh yeah, the bring your ass. That is from our printer company that we use. They were really hot on getting those out right away.
Those are hilarious.
Yeah, I know, right? Too bad the wolves. I mean, what an ending, but they came so far.
Yeah, I mean, get that far is pretty great. So Bucks didn't get that far. So way to go, T-Wolves. You guys call them T-Wolves? Or did I just make that up?
No, T-Wolves. That's a big, yeah, that's something we say for sure. I also want to mention, too, Red Lake Nation Tribal College's Minneapolis campus is having their grand opening tomorrow, Thursday, June 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. So I'm imagining that is pretty close. I got the direct, or I thought I had the direct address, but come hang out at the farmer's market and then head over to the opening. I know Representative Heather Keeler will be speaking and sharing a few words, so. I mean, I've seen a few pictures in the college. It's just a very urban environment and it's beautiful. It overlooks the skyline and everything.
Oh, how cool. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, we have, you know, about 2 minutes left. Arvina, is there anything else that you wanted to get out to our listeners? Again, I just want to say a big kina gigi for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me. If you are interested in learning a little bit more about the American Indian or the Indian Citizenship Act and the 100th anniversary, the WISDEMS are doing a presentation at 6:30. If you look it up, I don't have the link on me.
I could post it. I'll post it in our show's Facebook comments. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's starting in half an hour. So if you are not in the Twin Cities to go to the Medicaid conversation, you should definitely come and listen to us talk about the ramifications of the American Citizenship Act.
Or definitely. Yeah, it's important stuff to know. So thanks again, Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, for being here. I am producer Haley Cherry, and I've been co-hosting, and it's been so fun. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to Wisconsin Women in Conservation. They're having a field day you need to know about. J.R. Radcliffe with sports and Brittany Merlot for weather and wine. Join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.